Thanks for listening to Resume on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger. I used to host the Art of Charm podcast, but now it's time for something new. The Jordan Harbinger Show. Did you know you can be entertained and actually get a boost in your life at the same time? On this show, we dig into the superpowers of the world's most interesting thinkers and top talents. Then we deliver them to you right into your ears. But I get it. We're not all superheroes. That's why we give you their blueprint so you can live what you listen. After 1,000 interviews, learning 5 languages, and getting arrested in a country that doesn't even exist anymore, I'm now more ready than ever to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. Listen free to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app.
And welcome to Water Cooler, episode number 109. We're back in studio. Thank you so much for choosing us. We know you have a lot of choices for podcasts. We want to thank you for flying with a water cooler. And with me today...
Wait, what episode is it?
109. Oh, excuse me, 69 plus 40. Wow. So I was like 30, what? 30, 10. 69 plus 30, 10. All right. So once again, this is the show where I hang out with my cool digital buds. My name's Chris Loxamana. And with me today, I got Caitlin Bean here.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Glad to be back in studio.
Oh, thanks, man.
It's been a while.
It's been too long.
Yeah, it
feels like that live show was just like 2 weekends ago. Mm-hmm. It was. Gary Smith's here.
What's up?
What's up? I love how both of you are like, what's up? Well, I wonder what Dawson's going to say, because Mike Dawson's here.
I'm getting swifty. Take a shit on the floor.
Do it.
Swifty.
For those who don't get that reference, Caitlin Bean still influencing everybody here at Corolla Digital. He's been preaching the Rick and Morty
gospel.
Gospel, yeah.
It's the greatest thing
for a long, long time. He got me into it. Yeah. I love it.
I know I've gotten multiple people who listen to this podcast onto it as well. And now Dawson is fully on board. He was half committing there for a little while, but now he's fully on board. So
that's just awesome.
Two left to go.
There's nothing better than just getting really, really high and letting Rick and Morty just run.
Now, NBA All-Star.
Oh, yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns. Wait, was he was in the Rising Stars game, right? Or no?
Yeah, he was in the All-Stars.
Oh, he's an All-Star game. Excuse me.
He's an All-Star game.
He wears his sneakers are Rick and Morty themed. He got custom Rick and Morty themed sneakers.
Yeah, he had two of them actually. He wore a different pair a few weeks before, but then for the All Star game, he wore a custom pair of Rick and Morty.
And you weren't so happy about that.
What are you talking about? I thought it was awesome.
Oh, maybe it was somebody else.
No, I was so stoked on it. I said, "Okay, my new favorite player."
Oh, it brought his stock up.
Oh yeah,
in your eyes,
in my eyes for sure. But I already knew he was wearing Rick and Morty shoes before that, so it brought the stock up like 2 weeks before that, and then it just cemented it with the All Star game.
Oh, I have a couple Rick and Morty T-shirts. One is from you, Caitlin, which you got me for Christmas.
Yes,
it's a little slim, so Caitlin got me a small.
What is it?
Caitlin got me a small, men's small Rick and Morty shirt, and I'm gonna wait till I lose a couple lbs in my.
Yeah, I was trying to motivate you. There
my,
you go. Yeah,
exactly.
That was my plan.
My nipples stop poking through the shirt, so you don't want to see that.
Well, I've been wearing my Rick and Morty sweater for a while.
Now, oh yeah,
so that was my Christmas gift.
I got Caitlin a Rick and Morty sweater. And then I also got from another person a Pickle Rick shirt.
Nice.
Which I won't wear here just because I'm scared to death.
I haven't seen Pickle Rick yet.
Oh.
Is that in season 3?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting there.
You're in for a treat.
Yeah, so Caitlin, let's just say the bean scale, not so wrong about a lot of things. Or anything.
There you go.
Even.
Yeah, nothing.
And he might be flicking a little something. You're going to flip Cloverfield, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do Cloverfield.
You are. All right, so we haven't been back since the Tudor House. So we all hung out after the live show in that haunted house.
What a rage.
God.
So it was really weird because Gary didn't stay with us. One.
I did not.
Gary went home after the show.
That was, yeah. I would have liked to, but yeah.
It's all right, man. No, it's a haunted house. I don't blame you. But we do want to thank every single person that came out to that show and meeting you guys. And you know, people drove up from San Diego.
Yeah.
Guys, San Diego, Anaheim, kinds of fucking places.
All over the place to get to Lake Arrowhead. It was a destination wedding we had. And those who really came, who came out from far, and even those who, you know, were from there.
Shout out to the guy. Right before I left, we were all drinking at the Tudor House. And I was talking to some fan who was really cool. And he was telling me that he had Ubered. And I was like, he Ubered there. And I was like, what are you going to do at the end of the night? He's like, I'm just going to Uber back. I was like, dude, I don't know about that. Like, Uber's pretty sketchy up here. Like, here, I was using this like local taxi service. So I shouted at Joya and I was like, give me your phone. And I pulled up the number of the taxi service and I was like, take a picture of this. And the next morning I got home and I got a tweet from the guy and he was like, thank you very much. We were stranded and there was no Ubers and your number saved my life. So shout out to that guy.
Okay. Yeah. And Lake Arrowhead, no Ubers out there.
It's weird. It's weird when you get to places. I had a similar experience when I was in Joshua Tree like last year. It's very weird when you come to depend on something and then you get somewhere that it's not a thing.
I know. We asked like, do you guys have Uber out here? And they're all, yeah, we know that guy.
Yeah.
We know him.
Or when you get so accustomed to one thing that when you use a different service that isn't set up quite the same, you completely walk away from your taxi driver.
Are you avoiding saying Lyft?
Kaylin calling me out.
Oh, are you using... Oh.
When I first arrived at the Tudor House, we had called the guy. We called like this service, and they came and picked us up or whatever. We were talking to the girl the whole way there, and we got there, and I just got out and walked away. Yeah. I didn't even.
Yeah, I saw you stiff your text.
She leaned out the window, was like, "Are you okay?" And then before she could even say anything, I realized. But
yeah, so what was cool is the Tudor House. So we go and we check into our rooms. We get our rooms. Obviously, if you recall from the live show, Kaylin got the scariest room. And then what they did was they gave us a code, like, here's the code for the door, and has one of those keypads on the front door. And I thought, all right, that's kind of weird for, like, the into the lobby. Well, it turns out that the guy working the desk was off at 5, and then we just had the whole entire house / hotel, whatever it is, to ourselves.
We destroyed that place.
Yeah, we had a rager.
It was a mess.
Gary. Rager.
Fantastic mess.
I went to bed at 4:30 in the morning.
I went to bed at 6.
And for the record, that is why I didn't stay there. It had nothing to do with it being haunted. I just wasn't necessarily up for a 14-hour party. Because we all started drinking at about 5.
Yeah, imagine, though, having a whole like hotel to yourself. And you can just
it was like a bed and breakfast that we owned.
They let us use it. There was a kitchen. We got to go wherever we want. The library.
We're definitely doing that shit again. And they were so good to boo.
Thank you so much to the Tudor House for having us, though. Hopefully we treated you and your spirits right.
Kaylin, did you end up eating your pre-planned like drunk food that you got in the afternoon?
Half of it.
I woke up in the morning hungry, and I saw his other half a sandwich there, and I almost took it from him, but I didn't.
Tell me your plan. What did you do?
Okay, so we went to go get some burgers. We went into like the town square sort of before we had to go to the Tudor House, and we got some food there, and then me and Matt decided to walk around a little bit, and I saw a Subway, and I was like, boom, there's not going to be any food late at night, 2 in the morning. I'm going to be hungry. I'm getting a Subway sandwich that I'm then going to save for later when it's 2 in the morning. There's no food. I'm super hungry.
Yeah, so you know how before you go out drinking, you pregame? Before you go out, you take a couple shots, have a couple drinks, get yourself loose. Kaylin works on his postgame. He gets himself ready. He gets a big old Subway footlong. And it was just right, like, leaning up against the wall right by the door.
Yeah.
And yeah, he said, oh, that's for 2 a.m. That's my 2 a.m. meal. Matt had one too.
And then at about 11:30 at night, I went up to Kaylin and I'm like, where's your sub sandwich? She's like, why? I'm like, I got to give my dog her drugs, so I need some meat out of your sandwich. And we went upstairs to his room. He grabbed the sandwich, gave me some meat. And we went upstairs to the room. He gave me some meat. But anyway, when we were up there in the haunted room, I went in the bathroom to take a piss. Kaylin shoved me in there, fucking closed the door and turned off the light. Because it was supposed to be the haunted room.
That is the haunted room.
Well, I wasn't having it.
I'll tell you my experience. After, you know, the rager, everyone went to bed super late. We had the sing song. They had a piano there. We had the guitar out. Everyone was
called passing out.
Yeah. Well, I remember I would go to bed. I have a story about going to bed there, too, because I had an experience. But I wake up in the morning. I want to see who, you know, who is awake now because everyone's partying pretty late. I turned in early around 3, and I go down to the lobby, and what do I find is Kalen Bean sleeping on the couch. He took off his shoes, but he was just sleeping on the couch with a pillow and a sheet. And I thought, he got too scared. Kalen got freaked out and he had to sleep down here. And then so I go up to peek on Matt to see if he's in there. Matt was in the scariest room of the entire, like, and this is documented, the scariest room in the entire place. Most haunted room. And Matt was in there alone. You left him in there alone. Kalen's bed untouched.
I did leave him alone, but I had a good reason for it.
You did.
I did.
We don't have to get into it, but...
All right, we won't get into it then.
Okay, we can get into it. I don't know what you're comfortable talking about.
That's fine. No, there was a girl there that was outside of the Crowley universe, and she was very cute, and I got to talking to her throughout the night, and we were talking for a while and flirting, and it was all good. I thought, oh, you know, maybe we could, hook up or something. So then it's late at night. It's like... 4:30, 5 in the morning. Everyone's gone to sleep except
And now
me.
You're competing with my drummer, my bass player, and guitar player.
There was no competition. It was waiting them out.
It was waiting
them out. It was me and her and those two fuckers, right. And I was just waiting for them to leave, and they never left.
So they're
all
night
long.
So
fuck.
So as
there's
the party,
nowhere else to go in this place. So I had no options here.
All right,
wait. I was taking my room. There's one limit.
100%.
I waited for like an hour and a half just in my... Leave.
So was
leave.
The plan?
Get out of here. Leave. Go somewhere.
So let's get this straight. So there's a girl there, and as the party started fizzling out, the last people standing was this girl who was staying up, Kalen, and Dawson's bandmates.
Two of them.
His guitar and bass. Guitar and bass. And Kalen's plan was, I gotta wait him out. I gotta be the last man standing. What was your strategy?
Well, at one point, she like went upstairs and went to bed. I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just call that then. And I was about to go up to it. And then she comes back downstairs in her pajamas. And I was like, okay, it is on. So these two guys are going to, you know, they're going to cash out pretty soon, right? So we'll all just hang out on the couch and
fine. Play out the rest of the scenario. If they go to bed, is the plan to hook up with this chick in the public lobby of this hotel that anyone could walk into at any moment?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. That's never stopped Kalen before. I've seen it.
No, it's fine.
So unfortunately, they did not go to, I don't think they slept that night. So I ended up just, as I was trying to wait them out, I just passed out and woke up in the morning. Chris was just sitting there. I was like, oh, fuck. I passed out. And then yesterday, Chris walks in and goes, because she's like a friend of a friend of a friend of Chris's. And Chris goes in and goes, oh, yeah, remember that girl that you were? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, she was totally waiting for you to. For you to make a move. Son of a bitch! Why did you tell me that? Now it's like, have that. Like,
is it really bothering you?
I gotta tell my guys that story because they were both
she was
after
the
her
track.
As well.
Yeah, well, Kalen,
it was actually a 3-on-1 situation.
I'll tell you this, though. Kalen, you won because you stayed in the lobby the longest.
You're the last one there.
But yeah, so I don't think I think all three of you guys just went home empty-handed, though, right?
That's funny, man.
Yeah. Well, so Kalen didn't get too scared. He just he was CB'd, and
yeah, I think that's exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I crashed out at 4, and thank God I brought earplugs because my room was the one downstairs. So I had one thin hollow corridor between all these guys and that one chick.
Yeah.
and I'm just hugging Boo, trying to fucking go to sleep.
Just hearing them flexing all night.
Right.
I didn't go into any of the bathrooms, but Joya told me later that if we had stayed there, I would have been miserable trying to take a shower.
Oh,
is that
yeah.
true?
Well, our room particularly.
That's probably the only room she saw, because yeah, she probably would have used Jen's.
It took the longest time to try to figure out which one was hot water and which one was cold.
Well, no, what it is also our room. Have you ever stayed at the Luxor in Vegas, the pyramid?
Yes.
And you know, yeah, so you know, like, one of the walls is just slanted,
sure.
and you lose a lot of square footage, at least vertical
right.
square footage, because it goes into the room. Well, our room was like that, because we're at the very
You're
top
under
floor.
A stairwell.
Yeah, so we're in the roof, so we had the roof slant in right. our bathroom. So our shower, I mean, hey, like, I was able to stretch out all the way, but Gary would not have been as lucky. And it's kind of cool being in a room like that, especially like me and Dawson, who love... non-square rooms right now, and we're all about non-square or cube rooms, because
that place was awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible. Also, Dawson says he goes to bed at 4 a.m. I wake up and I'm down, you know, watching Kaylin sleep at about 9 a.m.
That's not weird.
No, it's not weird at all. He's a great sleeper. I recommend everybody do it at least, you know, at least do it once in your life.
Just swing by the office. He's always sleeping here.
You really are. You're just coming to our lobby. Kaylin loves sleeping in lobbies.
I would love taking
Well, I'm waiting there at 9 a.m. and I'm thinking, because I've partied with Dawson many times and I've seen him so hungover that he sleeps face down.
It gets pretty rough sometimes.
He planks it. He just planks face down, and it could, you know, it could be a room full of people. He just he hurts. And he comes out of there. His hair's slicked back. He's dressed to the nines. He's whistling. Hey guys, what's up? Good morning. I'm just looking at him like, how the hell are you?
I was in remarkably good shape, all things considered.
Yeah, I think it did help a lot.
All I did, I drank like 15 glasses of water before I went to bed.
Plus, it did help that there wasn't any real like hard alcohol there. It was mostly just beer.
Well, my bass player and guitar player were each walking around with a bottle of Jim Beam, which got polished off by the end of the night.
There you go. Didn't see that one.
Yeah. So I went up to bed at 3 a.m. I was getting tired. Jen was falling asleep in the chair she was sitting, like, twice. Like, she said, oh, no, I'm falling asleep. Let's hang out longer. And I look over again. She's sleeping. I'm like, okay, we got to go to bed. Come on. And I convinced her to go upstairs to bed. I'm so tired, too. And after I've had a few, like, when I drink a lot, I get tired, first and foremost. Then I get sick. I don't really get blacked out drunk.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's just how I handle my alcohol. But, I mean, it takes a lot to get there. Very strong, high tolerance. It's hard to believe with my
especially stature. With the size ratio.
Exactly. So I take Jen upstairs and we're going to bed and she's getting ready for bed and I look at our bed and I look up and in the corner
is a ghost.
In the corner of the bed, there's no ghost, but in the corner of the bed is this huge black spider. But in the corner of where the two walls and the ceiling meet, and and it's right above the bed, and I'm thinking, it's kind of high too. So I'm thinking, Jen's she really hates spiders to the point where she can't sleep, she can't think, she can't do anything until she knows the spider is dead.
You told me this story at about 11:15 the next morning, and I was still hearing about it about 5 p.m. that evening.
So I don't want to tell Jen about the spider. I'm not afraid of spider. I don't care if there's a spider in my room, whatever.
Which is an incorrect way to go about your life.
That's a black widow right there. That's
it wasn't a black widow. It was bigger than a black widow. and so now the way my brain works now is thinking, all right, because if Jen sees this, I'm going to have to stack chairs. I'm going to have to climb up those chairs and kill the spider. I might miss first try. It's going to go running away. And if we lose it, then she's not sleeping, which means I'm not sleeping. And I'm so tired. I just want to go to bed. So she's getting ready. Her back's to the spider. And I'm thinking, I got to get these lights off. Get the lights off. I'm looking at this spider, and I'm thinking, all right, Mr. Spider, I know you see me. I see you. We're okay, though. We can coexist in this world. All I need you to, I'm going to turn off the lights. All I need you to do is just stay up in that corner and do not get near us when we're sleeping, and all will be good. You will live.
This is all telepathic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I gave him the look. It was all applied with my eyes. And I look at the spider, and I said, you will live. I'm saving your life because she's going to make me kill you. And I am I just want to sleep. She wants to sleep. We all want to sleep. You're probably sleeping right now. You want to sleep too. Let's get these lights off. So I'm telling Jen, hey, Jen, she's right by the lights. Would you turn off the lights? But I'm changing. Just turn them off, though. I'm so tired. Like, you know, turning my eyes. Just turn off the lights. Just turn off the lights. She turns off the lights. And I'm home free. She gets in bed. And by the way, this is the room where it's infamous for it feels like somebody's sitting on your chest.
Okay.
And this is a side note. So this room, I stayed in the room called Jasmine, where everyone always says like it feels like the ghost is sitting on your chest. You feel a pressure on your chest when you're sleeping. And then Jeff, the owner of the place, goes, but I want you to know that's actually one of her clients. So it's a guy sitting on your chest. And he just like laughs maniacally. And I thought, all right, well, good to know. There was a point that night where I felt pressure on my chest. And I'm not kidding out. Gary, don't roll your eyes. I'm serious. I don't know if maybe I'm hypnotized. He fed me that.
That's psychosomatic.
Yeah. And I turned to my side. He got off. And everything It got off my chest, and everything.
It got off on your chest.
Everything was fine.
What you're saying is a dude got off on your chest.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, sun comes up, wake up. The first thing I do is check that corner, see if that spider stayed true to his word. He's gone. The spider is gone. That corner's empty. There's just all white in that corner. No black spider anymore. And I'm thinking, all right, Jen, you awake? Yeah, yeah. She's awake. She's probably just looking at her phone or something. I said, okay, well, let's get up. Let's see who else is up. All right, because now my goal is let's get out of this room. Because this spider is walking around somewhere, and I don't want Jen to see it. She takes off the cover. The spider's on her leg. Oh. The spider's on her leg! You didn't listen to me!
Did you tell her the interaction you had with the spider?
I had to.
You came clean with that? Pissed was she? She's like, wait a minute.
So, Gary, how pissed was she?
It occupied a good portion of our breakfast conversation. she wasn't pleased.
Yeah, so this spider totally went rogue on our contract, our nonverbal contract. And I was so mad because I had to kill it. I had to kill a spider. I felt terrible. But, I mean, it was really on him.
Listen, it didn't fucking follow up its end of the agreement.
Yeah. Like, Jen didn't even want to just leave. She said, you have to kill it.
Jen's right.
I thought, all right. Yeah, I mean, it was a big spider, and he's crawling in beds. Like, he's not afraid of humans. We want the spiders that are afraid of humans. They leave us alone. This one wants to get right up in there with us. So, sorry, spider, but and Tudor House and whoever spirit that spider had, but that guy's a liar. That guy's a freaking liar. He knew the game. He knew what was up, and he didn't listen. But otherwise, Tudor House, great place. And I'm sure they don't have a ton of spiders. That was just that one.
Should we give a plug to the hotel side of it? I can't remember. Was it Breckenridge Manor? What was it called?
Oh, the Fern Manor. Fern Manor?
I thought it had a B. I thought it started with a B.
Bracken. I thought it was Bracken.
Brackenfern?
Brackenfern.
It's across the street from the Tudor House. It's just an incredible place.
It's a cool place to stay. Like, if you're in Arrowhead and you're looking for somewhere to stay, check that out.
Yeah, it's very cool. Even cooler if you can get the whole place. Yeah. And about 50 people get raging in it.
It was a party. And there's, like, a deck outside, too. Everyone's hanging out outside. It's freezing up there, but whatever. And I heard Kaylin try to stand-up set for Matt.
Yeah, I heard that. And
Kaylin,
what
happens with Kaylin when he parties and he has a few pops in him?
A different Kaylin comes
out. Yeah, a different Kaylin comes out. This is the Kaylin that, one, he loves attention.
He loves
attention.
Commands a room.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the same Kaylin that makes the speeches on the cruise. He also made a speech at the Tudor House about how he's not going to make a speech tonight, but he made a speech about that and got everyone looking at him like, I'm not going to make a speech tonight. And he talks like a pastor, like, hey, like on the mountain, like very, yeah,
he's
very
like
direct.
He's like an evangelical, like commanding his congregation.
That's right. Yeah. That's how he speaks.
Statements.
And Matt Fondalier, I wish he was here right now. He's helping Adam write Oscar jokes. Matt tells me, Caleb pulled me aside, wanted to try his stand-up set with me.
Well, I did one of the jokes for him earlier that day, even before we were drunk, and he was laughing at it, and I was like, oh, okay. So I think that's when I was like, you know, really, really on one. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to do the whole thing for him. And right after I started, someone who was like in one of the bands before we started walked out, but didn't know like what I was doing. So I was like making
Wait. So let's set the scene. So you're outside with Matt.
I'm outside with Matt.
Just you two.
I think there's like two other dudes.
But you and Matt are having your own.
Yeah, but me and Matt are kind of
a private conversation, and you offer Matt your stand-up set.
I start entertaining, right? I start doing my bit.
Just to Matt.
Just to Matt. And then, like, the two other guys kind of, I think they might have, like, heard, so they kind of, like, started turning around. But it was just focused solely on Matt. And then, not about 10 seconds, 15 seconds go into my set when this girl walks out and sees me, like, doing this bit and, like, stands next to Matt, like, watching as well. But, like, didn't realize that I was, like, trying to make jokes and do a bit. So what is going on?
I'm sorry.
You're in the toolbox.
Dawson's phone went off. Oh, wait.
So I was trying to make
it. Can't even get through telling the story of the stand-up before getting heckled.
Sorry, all right, sorry.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I started to do these jokes, but she's taking it at, like, face value and, like, trying to correct me on why these things, like, oh, no, but that this is how they really do it in real life. And I was like, yeah, okay. Matt, okay, and here's the next one. She's like, oh, but I thought, like, this happened. I was like, Matt, okay, go ahead. Did not understand what I was
saying. Yeah, so Kaylin is trying to power through his set while this girl is trying to explain to him how what he's saying, which is a joke, is factually wrong.
But there are setups in there. You don't want to
give
away material.
I don't want to give away Caleb's material.
I've heard a little bit of what the actual content of it was. It sounds like it was pretty fucking hilarious. Yeah. To be fair to the girl, it's not often that a stand-up does his routine to one person drunk on a fucking deck when everyone's partying in the house together. True. So I don't think it's totally on her, but I can sympathize with how vexing it must have been for you.
Which girl was it?
I think she was in the band
halfway.
Halfway.
Oh, great job to those guys, by the way, for playing.
Really nice guys.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. But anyway, so Kalen, I've only seen you do your set once, and it was also at a party when he's had a few pops.
Yeah.
And he did it for us outside at the Christmas party, and he got heckled nonstop, mercilessly by Ray, by everybody. And Kalen is spending 10% of his time doing his set, and then the other 90% just yelling at us for not listening.
It was just yelling at Ray.
Yeah, really yelling at Ray.
He was doing it on purpose.
So, and then he tries it again with Matt. You're meant to get heckled.
I know.
You just gotta get up on a stage and do it.
I gotta learn how to control that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I admire you doing it though, and I look forward to the next party to see how your material gets updated and what you changed about it.
I'll do it at the next one.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Matt was telling me about how funny it was and how it was so much more entertaining that this girl was just tapping on the shoulder like, actually, that fact's actually not true. This is actually how it is in Los Angeles, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, Matt, now. Yeah. Think about this.
Well, Kalen, yeah.
That was a rage.
It was a great party.
That was a lot of fun.
We had a sing-song. What's Tim?
For hours, dude.
Yeah, he was playing the piano. Dawson, everyone's weirdly, I want to say 40% of the people in that room knew how to play guitar, so everyone's just grabbing it and trading it off and just and going to songs.
Now, another fun thing that they had at this hotel was they had guest books by every one of the beds.
Oh yeah, so in each room they had a guest log book where you can write thank you for having us, you know, any guest book, and you can also log and read about other people's experiences in that particular room.
A lot
room.
Of them were like, oh yeah, we heard this weird noise, a loud bang, couldn't go back to sleep, there's a weird spider. Light in the hallway.
Can I read yours?
Spider bit my wife.
Yeah,
you gotta read it sideways.
Okay, so the first day I walk in another room and Kalen shows me the log book. Yeah, spiders. And Kalen writes in his log. He writes the date, 2/10/2018. Kalen Bean, great penmanship. Mm-hmm. And then in the message part, he writes, just arrived at 2 p.m. Can't wait to log my experiences tonight. And then left it blank.
Super formal.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, that's really great. 2 p.m. That was a 2 p.m. entry. I have the final version here. 11:34 p.m. Shit's hopping off.
The image right popping off. You want me to read it?
Dad blame for lack of activity. Lack of activity is in all caps.
Can't
weirdly.
Blame for lack of activity.
Shit's hopping off. Can't blame for all caps. Lack of activity, comma. Must be shy. Hope to see you soon, Violet. XOXO hugs and kisses. And
Violet's the ghost.
That's the name of the ghost that's supposed to haunt Kalen. So he wrote a little message straight to Violet in the guest book. So, hey, sorry we're partying so hard, but that's probably why you're not haunting us.
It's popping off. Yeah.
It was popping off at 11:54.
Oh, God. Fucking, we raged that fucking party.
And then
I can't believe you guys made it that late.
It was like a high school party.
I left it was. It felt high school.
Everyone was fucking sauce.
Well, it was Kevin, just getting started at midnight.
Kevin the hero bought a bunch of pizzas, Domino's pizzas for everybody. I wish he would have hooked up with that girl.
Fuckers, are you serious? Did you guys get it delivered?
Yeah.
Did it arrive in a timely fashion?
Oh, yeah.
No, not timely.
It was timely, I thought. Maybe.
Well, we ordered a pizza, too, and they called us after an hour going, what the fuck? And they said, well, our one delivery driver's car broke down, so we're still trying to figure it out. Our pizza arrived 2 hours after we
ordered. Or they could have said, oh, sorry, we have 8 pizzas that we have to make.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that's what delayed me.
It might have been. Yeah, so thanks to Kevin. Yeah, I wish you would have walked away with the girl that night. And then, so that was Kalen's second entry. And then there's a third entry, but it's in a different penmanship. It is Matt Fondelier's penmanship. And he wrote, I'll finish for him, ... He fell asleep drunk at 5 a.m. and didn't see anything. And that's what's logged in. So I'll post that picture up at chrisloxman.com. Text me that, Kalen. Yeah.
For those who may have not heard previous episodes, Violet, Jasmine, these are all the names of dead whores. when this used to be a whorehouse.
Dead women, working women.
Okay. Ladies of the night.
Yeah. Ladies of the night. And, but yeah, once again, thanks to Tudor House. Thanks to Ha Ha Halfway, Jeff, Gay, Dave in the sound booth. Gay is Jeff's wife.
Oh, okay.
And,
I introduced her.
Yeah, just everybody. Dawson, Smoking Kills killed it. The crowd, everybody who came out was amazing. All the Kroll drinks.
Put up some videos on my Twitter, YouTube page. So if you just go to Dos Angeles on my Twitter, you'll see some YouTube videos of the band plan.
Yeah, the Kroll drinks team. Everybody was just so hospitable and welcoming to us, and it was an incredible weekend, right?
We will be back there.
Yeah.
We'll be back there on a much larger scale now that we know what's going on over there.
Yeah, we're on the street. It's summer. We'll make a little summer appearance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll get into that. Kalen.
Yo.
So you saw Cloverfield.
I did, yeah. The Cloverfield Paradox.
All right, we'll get into that in one sec. But first, I have to thank Emmy. He works with us. Now, a lot of people listening might not know who he is. He works on the after show. He works... He's probably our newest member, right? Him and Gabe are tied, maybe?
Pretty much.
Emmy's very sweet. We've actually known for a long time before he got hired. And he's from New York. He works out. He's very helpful. And he listens to the show.
Why'd you say he works out?
Chris wants to fuck him or something.
Guy's buff, man. I can't wait. I have to.
Sweet. It's just a weird... He works out. He's from New York.
Yeah. The guy's jacked. Are you kidding me?
I'm not arguing with the factual
accuracy.
It was just a weird thing.
Okay, imagine you're friends with Dwayne Johnson.
You wouldn't
and nobody else
it.
And nobody else knew who he was. And you were doing the same thing I had. Thanks to Dwayne for helping out. He's great.
He's really sweet.
He's freaking ripped.
He works out.
He's huge
That's
muscles.
That's what I would come up with.
I want to do a pull-up on his bicep when he just holds me up.
That's a great point, Chris.
See? So, Emmy, thank you. But anyway. He heard us talk. Remember back in a couple weeks ago when I was talking about that rapper who had that song, Something in Fernet, Falafels in Fernet?
Right.
Well, Emmy heard that, and he knows Fernet very well. And that's this liquor that we're drinking right now. He got us a bottle of it because his dad drinks it. He used to drink it all the time when he was growing up. So we're all drinking it with Coke, and it's fantastic. This is a great drink. It's like menthol-y, Jaeger-y. Licorice-y. I hate saying Jaegery because it automatically turns it into like a douche drink.
Yeah.
But
it's like it's fancy douche drink.
Yeah, fancy douche drink. It's called Fernet. So I'm going to take a shot of it right now. So, Keon, while I take the shot of this, why don't you get into Cloverfield Paradox?
All right, let's do it. Well, Cloverfield Paradox is the third movie so far in the Cloverfield series.
Is this the one that they teased at halftime and then it was available at
yes.
the end?
Okay. Awesome. That was awesome, a like marketing
fucking
campaign.
Awesome marketing campaign.
Nobody knew
campaign.
When it was coming out, and then there was a commercial for it in halftime.
Around halftime.
I talked about this, and Dawson said, what other marketing campaigns are your favorite?
Greatest marketing for a movie ever. And I just wanted you to name your second favorite.
I know what you were doing.
And you still can't.
Oh, but here these guys also say, oh, I love that marketing. But you're silent when they say it. When I say I love the marketing, you're asking me to list my top three.
That was A-plus marketing. At the end, when the second commercial came on, I stopped Joy and I explained what had happened.
You said it was your favorite movie marketing. Your best of your top 10. It's the best movie marketing I've ever... it's my favorite movie marketing ever. And I just ask you to name your second favorite.
So second favorite. The posters of James Franco and Seth Rogen, super high for Pineapple Express with no other, just pictures of their face, super high.
There you go.
I said 10.
Oh, is that yours, Chris? Second favorite?
No, it's not my second favorite.
I said
maybe it cracks the top 20, but definitely not my second.
All right.
Go ahead.
I said Deadpool during this conversation. I was like, that one's okay. That was the only other one I could think of, too.
But notedly, though, Chris couldn't come up with one.
Just too many to choose from, you know? It's hard to.
Nothing.
And this one was really cool. It's like, okay, here's the commercial for it. Now go watch it after the Super Bowl when you're done.
Boom. Yeah,
it's
coming very soon at the halftime commercial.
Yeah.
And then right after the game, the next commercial set available now.
Yeah. All right.
It's awesome.
So I watched it.
It was kind of similar to the sequel in the trilogy or whatever, 10 Cloverfield Lane, where nobody knew like what this movie was when it was coming out, and then like
a week
before it was like, all right, it's going to be in theaters next week. This is the next edition into the Cloverfield series.
Yeah.
So John Goodman, if you haven't seen that one, it's really good. It's kind of all takes place in a bunker.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something about Cloverfield too. I love this world. I love Cloverfield.
Me too. It's awesome.
The lore, everything. Like if you really look into, because they create a whole world that's not even in the movies.
Can someone like educate me a little bit here? I am aware of Cloverfield, any of the Cloverfield stuff, to the extent that I've heard the word.
Yeah, okay, I don't know this world.
I don't know. I don't know shit about this.
We'll just start with the first movie that came out. It was in theaters.
It was called Cloverfield.
It was right after the found footage stuff started to become.
It was like a Godzilla movie or something.
The first movie I learned was
Blair Witch.
Blair Witch, and then after that was Cloverfield that did the found footage.
Was that like around the same time, like early 2000s?
Yeah, I think it was about mid 2000s.
Okay,
and that was great. Just Max Pan, look that up. There is a giant sea monster that comes out of the sea and just starts wreaking havoc all over New York, and these people are running around trying to get away from the just massive being that's destroying all of New York. That's the first movie, and then the second movie, which seemingly had nothing to do with the first one, was just about, you know, someone who finds a bunker, like something bad's happening, and they find a bunker and they're trapped in this bunker with like this crazy dude for, you know, 90 minutes. And so the series is really cool. They got this cool creative world with these really weird like alien creatures, kind of like The Mist. Have you ever seen The Mist? That movie, at the end of that movie, the creatures that they have walking around.
Okay. It's
very similar to the Cloverfield one, just massive.
I still don't get how one movie set in New York, one movie set in like an Iowa cornfield,
yeah, like right,
and then the third movie set in space.
Exactly. It's amazing
how it's one world. Oh, explain. Right.
Okay, so here we go. So the third one, Cloverfield Paradox, is set in space.
Wait. Before we get into this, are we talking spoilers? Are we going to spoil anything?
No, don't spoil.
Okay. I'm not going to spoil. I didn't even spoil the second one. I wanted to, but I didn't. I love this series. And so the third one, it's set in space, and essentially the world is like on the brink of war. They have a massive energy crisis going on, and there's this team of 8 astronauts that are attached to this spaceship that's also like a massive energy device. Like they power it up, and it's supposed to provide enough energy for the entire planet. Therefore, like nobody would go to war. So like they're up there and they're trying to
beaming energy back from space.
They're not beaming it. They're just trying to like get it to work. They're trying to turn it on and have it successfully like withstand the massive energy that it can create on its own.
Because they're afraid it'll blow up if they start it on Earth, or they're like testing it out. Is that the premise?
I don't think they really explain how they plan to get the energy from the spaceship.
Feels like they don't really explain a lot in these movies.
Well, that's exactly right. They do not explain very much, and like I said, they have like 8 scientists, all pretty young. You know, if I'm looking for someone to save the world with a massive energy spaceship device, you'd think they'd be a little more seasoned astronauts. But
looking at the 22-year-old with a nice rack.
Pretty much. There's like 8 of them. That's supposed to be
save the world, honey.
Yeah, that's Jesus, powering this awesome. massive.
I'm saying,
ship.
Save the world.
Respect all women.
Yes, that is respect.
And so, yeah, they're trying to turn it on, trying to turn it on, and something happens in which when they're trying to turn this on, like some kind of energy ripple happens, and that is meant to be known as what creates this kind of Cloverfield world on Earth. And I'm not going to spoil it too much.
So in the chronological order, it's the prequel?
Right. Like before, yeah. It's
before the first movie?
Right.
I think they even sold it as like, find out why Cloverfield
How did these beings come to be like on Earth? Where did they come from? And this
So we turn on a massive battery in space and fuck shit
okay,
up.
Okay.
That's exactly the premise. And this movie is filled with a ton of actors who you know their faces but don't know their names. You know every single one of them, but you can't name any one of their names. And like both the writer and the director, not really much credits under their belt. And this movie had so much potential. Like it could have made like the whole story. They were messing with other dimensions. There was energy. There are these weird beings. Like it had so much potential to be such a great, awesome sci-fi outer space prequel to Cloverfield. And it was not in any way. It was the biggest letdown ever. This movie's super boring. Super, super boring. And all the weird stuff that happens to them is, like, just right out of a textbook.
This movie's more boring than the one where John Goodman's in a bunker for 90
yes,
minutes?
Yes, for sure. Because there's no, like, good actors in this movie. They're all just like, run of the mill, I'm just an average actor.
Yeah, like, it was like you don't know my name. Event Horizon.
So,
like a pared down.
So for someone in my position, would you advise – I think the answer is going to be obviously no because you're clearly shitting on this and it's about to be unflickable. But
you don't know that.
Would you,
you – don't know that.
Yeah, would,
you
be, scale.
Would you do yourself a disservice to watch this movie first?
Or would you do yourself a flavor?
Yeah, no. Watch them in order for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like that is in order.
You've seen the first one?
In action.
No, I've seen nothing. I'm aware of the words.
Watch the first
in order
one.
Of release.
The second one's good. The first one is eh.
It was very cool at the time, but going back, I haven't really watched it much after that.
I'll be honest, knowing the lore and like really getting into the first one and you know hearing about the background, because they don't talk about the background of the monster. It's all found footage, so it's just like guys who happen upon a monster, and it happens. And then you can like look up the background of it and see like how like the whole world and the great marketing of the movie.
Where's the background?
You can find it on the internet. Just
but
Google
is it like fan fiction or is it like the creators released like a bunch of shit?
Well, upon marketing, they released a bunch of stuff, but like okay. It's stuff that like was out for months that nobody knew existed. And once the movie came out, they all went back and looked at it.
Weren't there like MySpace pages
and exactly,
stuff?
Stuff like that. Yeah. So the whole part of it. So I was really into that, and then watching this. There are parts that tied them together, and I thought, oh my God, that's amazing. That's what it is. That's what that was that I saw in that one scene. That's the thing. And I freaked out, and it was so satisfying to see them start connecting the dots, but it needed a better story.
It completely fell apart. It got very confusing. There's a side story in this movie that makes pretty much no sense whatsoever. Like, there's no point to it whatsoever. It's completely useless. Absolutely completely useless. Did not need it in the movie at all.
Well, can I pause it? Is it possible that they're setting it up for a fourth installment or something? Like, if they're that they're putting out MySpace profiles and shit, could this just all be groundwork for something that would come later?
It didn't Who even knows? Seem substantial enough to be, like, its own story in a later movie.
And here's the thing, too. So Cloverfield 1 was just J.J. Abrams' version of a Godzilla movie that he wanted to make. They called it Cloverfield because the studio was on the street Cloverfield, and it was codenamed Cloverfield when they're making the movie because they got a bunch of no-name actors, and they surprised everybody with that movie, too. And it was a super, super top secret project. So it's called Project Cloverfield when he's making the movie. And then they just ended up keeping the name. So it's actually a street in Santa Monica, Cloverfield. And then they made 10 Cloverfield Lane was actually a different script that they jumped on, said, let's make this part of Cloverfield. And so they changed a few things and that became a Cloverfield movie. Then this movie was called The God Particle. And it wasn't meant to be a Cloverfield movie. And then they thought, oh, this would be cool in our universe. And they changed some things up and threw the word Cloverfield
Sounds
on it.
Sounds super lazy.
Yeah, so it's like the first one was just so good. And then they're just like, other scripts and like making them part of the world. Because like I see what they're doing. Like they want the good story. And then they tie it together. But this one was not good.
Yeah, I would have much rather.
Why it went straight to Netflix.
Yeah, I would have much rather they put more money into this actual big production and like had like a campaign and people knew about it ahead of time than just like, oh, okay, here it is. Take it, watch it, forget it.
Okay.
That's what you do. You forget all the acting. It's just so
let's get into the movie. What did you like it?
No, I did not like it. And not only did I not like it, I was very upset at how they kind of tarnished this story, which had so much potential. And overall,
so you think it did a disservice to the rest
exactly.
of the franchise?
Yeah,
they didn't do themselves a flavor.
Good. Two nights ago, I was looking for something to watch, and I'm like, yeah, let's give this Cloverfield thing a try. And I watched the first 7 minutes and just said, nope, not doing it.
I had everything that I love in movies with the sci-fi, multiple dimensions, space travel, outer space. I love all of it. And this was just, it was terrible. Yeah. Just don't see it. It's going to make you like not like the series anymore.
So glad I didn't watch it.
So what's the score?
It's unflickable. 2 out of 10.
Whoa!
Oh, wow. Oh my God!
That could be the lowest bean score we've ever had.
Take that, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, that bums me out. You know what I think? Because I just recently started getting into Black Mirror. I think Black Mirror is what Cloverfield wants to be.
Dude, wait till you get to the very last one.
And just like it's creating that world. Yeah, so.
I will say the only part of that movie that did bump it up a point or two for me was the end, like the very, very, very end, which was actually kind of cool. That's it.
Oh yeah, okay, it was cool. I get you saying. Fun fact: 10 Cloverfield Lane, the movie poster and all that stuff, is the same guy who designed the resume logo that people are looking at on their iPods right now.
Yeah,
and so he made this theme where like the letters get really long.
Like the bunker.
At the bottom. Yeah, because the letters went down to the bunker. And they kept it in this movie. So now I think all Cloverfield movies are going to use his like lettering and his theme of like,
get,
like
the T coming down really long. I thought that was a good movie.
Yeah. So his name's Danny Karpinski. And thanks, Danny, for designing this logo. And yeah, doing big things. Making billboards and designing Cloverfield graphics.
Yeah.
And designing the logo for the Sideshow water cooler.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Keelan. Let's see. Before we get out of here, quick movie pass update.
Unflickable. 2 out of 10.
Gary, so, Gary uses...
Oh, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, that does hurt. Speaking of movies, though, Gary watched Black Panther.
Yeah.
And used your movie pass.
Did not.
Oh, you didn't?
No, we discussed this right before the show started.
No, well, I know. I'm trying to set you up here. And then you...
I know, but your setup goes completely in the face of the conversation we had about this.
No, that's how I do it. That's my style.
No, I did not use my MoviePass to go see Black Panther. MoviePass blacked out a lot of the 3D showings for Black Panther, and the way the timing worked out, the only one I could see was 3D, so I just bit the bullet and paid for it. But
So far, this MoviePass was not a good investment for you.
Sounds like my gym pass.
I've been paying for 4 or 5 months. I've never seen a movie on it.
Okay.
I'm like, I gotta
boy,
be 50,
these people suck.
I gotta be $50 into the hole. I've seen zero movies.
The same they thing is happening to a guy that I know, a guy that helps out with my dad, my stepmom.
Oh,
the same thing is happening
to a lot of people, because once I don't know what the fuck I was thinking, but after Tudor House, when I did when I spoke about this on Water Cooler, much to the dismay of the 150 people listening to us, they had no idea what the hell was going on.
What are you talking about?
It was a little uncomfortable, wasn't it?
It was not our finest show, but what are you going to do?
No.
Our show was great.
No, it was a good show, but I'm saying that it was a weird – it's weird to do it in front of an audience that isn't paying attention to it because then
– no idea.
We don't want to laugh at each other.
No,
it was just
I think that's
weird...
a fantastic experience. Let's schedule another Water Cooler, but let's go to a restaurant on a Saturday night that's always packed.
We'll
get up on stage.
Yeah, let's go to Buca de Beppo.
For everybody listening, we are not going to promote this. We're just going to get up on stage.
It's more macaroni? Okay. All right.
It'll be Cloverfield style. We'll just podcast, live podcast coming soon. And then we just walk up. All right. So after
that show, I realized, like, which I don't know why it took me this long, like, hey, I have a decent number of followers on Twitter. If I start talking shit on Twitter, they'll probably. They have Twitter accounts. Like, they'll probably respond.
Oh, you're using your Twitter clout.
Yeah. So I did.
That's a way to do it these days.
So I did, and they promptly responded. But before they could respond, I had numerous people jump on and go, same thing's happening to me. What the fuck? Like, all kinds of people. And now that I'm following the MoviePass Twitter account and their customer service Twitter account, I am seeing people flame them left and right. So as I talked about earlier, it took, like, 2.5 months for me to get my card. So when I finally got their attention on Twitter and they asked me to DM them, they asked for my email address associated with my account, and I gave it to them, and they said, which card are you using? I've only ever received one card, but the reason I'm guessing here, but I'm guessing what happened is they sent me the first card. It never got to me. I emailed them and bitched. They sent another card. They had two cards associated with my account, and a card I've never seen was the only one that was active. So they've since deleted that card, and apparently the card that I have in my possession is now active and working, but I'll have to update that probably next water cooler. Probably get a chance to use it this week.
Ooh, Annihilation. Right. That one looks pretty good.
Yeah, on the edge of my seat.
Right. I'll see that.
Natalie
that
Portman?
Looks good. Yeah. Isn't that the same guy?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that the same guy who did Ex Machina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that's a fucking
that's
A-plus
a great movie.
Movie if you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen
Kaylin.
It.
Kaylin,
do yourself a flavor. That is a great movie.
I know you were into Taboo a while back. I just got
the
season on Netflix. Is it worth it?
It's on Netflix?
No, it's on DVD Netflix.
Yeah, definitely worth it.
Definitely worth it.
Especially if you're a Tom Hardy fan.
All right.
I love that show.
All right. Well, speaking of suggestions.
I'm like 3 episodes in, and it seems to have started to drag.
It is slow. Like, it's not like an action show.
But it's worth it. It's going to pay off in the end. Stick with it.
I need some Netflix or Hulu, like, streaming suggestions.
Rick and Morty.
TV shows.
Rick and Morty.
Guys,
let me finish. That I can watch with Joya. So that takes out Rick and Morty. That takes out Italian subtitles.
Joya wants to get Swifty.
Everyone wants to get Swifty.
Hear that, Joya?
Tiny Rick.
So if you got them, send them.
Do you do that thing, like, because this happens to me in general time, where we're making dinner, we sit down with our food, all right, let's watch something while we eat this, and then we don't pick anything by the time our food's done just because it's taking too long, because there are so many choices, or we've seen it, or we really don't want to see this This is just
no. What we end up doing, we've got a few shows that we watch right now that are out, and like depending on the day of the week, if we've got something, like we're watching Waco, which is really good. I'd recommend that on Paramount Network.
It's not the documentary; it's the made-for-TV movie kind of thing.
It's a made-for-TV miniseries.
Okay,
six
what's
parts.
That on? What
Paramount Network, which used to be Spike. It's legit. Okay.
That's legit.
It's very good. Taylor Kish. And Michael Shannon from Boardwalk Empire plays the negotiator. That's a good series.
From The Shape of Water?
Have you finished all three episodes of Fargo? Or three seasons?
No, that's one that and The Americans, like I have a few things on the list, but I'm...
The seasons of Fargo get slightly worse as you go.
Yeah, I love the first.
But they're still great.
Okay. That's a good suggestion. We're also watching the assassination of Gianni Versace, which that's pretty good. Goddamn good, too.
I want to see that.
The dude who plays the murderer is an A-plus actor. Like, I think that this is going to launch a very impressive career for that guy. But yeah, those are – so we tend to watch those. But if we don't have anything, we just end up putting on Modern Family reruns and watching them all night. All
right. There you go.
Kaylin. I can do Tech Talk next week, by the way, on YouTube TV.
We got to do a show, that's right.
Nice.
No, I listen. Shay's coming back soon. I just got to finish writing jokes for the joke corner
of Shay Fondelet. All right, Cannon, where can we go for you?
Oh, don't worry about me.
All right, if you say so, Gary. Anything you think we should be checking out? Running out.
Check out the other podcast that I promote. I produce Riggles Picks. Has been really good with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tiano, who killed it on the Adam Carolla Show. And I think we're going to try to incorporate them more into the Adam Carolla Show in the coming months and weeks. And also Play With Pain, the Chet Waterhouse podcast. It's better than I even expected it to be, and I love Chet Waterhouse. And available.
Dude's amazing.
Available now. Bob Costas.
Oh yeah, crazy.
That's a get.
It was a get, and I had high expectations for that dude, and he far surpassed him. Super sweet dude. And go listen to that, just even if you're not going to listen to that podcast every week, go listen to that one, cuz it's amazing how funny and loose Bob Costas can be.
Yeah, Jeff was actually telling me just how fun it was and like how quick he is.
It was
just
great.
Yeah, he makes really good comedic choices.
Yeah.
Dawson, where can you go for you?
Well, you can go get yourself a rad power bike. I got my Rad Rover. I've been riding it around all over North Hollywood.
That's right.
It's awesome. It's like a little motorbike, big fat tires, except it's just really, really quiet. It goes 20 miles an hour. You can ride it for like 3, 4, 5 hours on a charge, and we'll be bringing it up to Yosemite.
Ooh.
Coming up the first weekend in May. But radpowerbikes.com, get the Rad Rover. They also got the Rad City and the Rad Wagon, which it's like the Rad Wagon's like it's a bike pickup truck. But get it. And if you use the code Dawson at checkout, they'll give you $50 in free accessories. Get the over the tire back rear rack, tie your shit up to it, and then just cruise around, man. The thing's got a throttle. It is badass. Yeah, Rad Power Bikes. RadPowerBikes.com. Remember, use the promo code Dawson.
And if 20 miles an hour sounds weak to you, that's because you're used to a car. 20 miles an hour.
20 miles an hour on a bike is pretty
good. That's about as fast as you want to go on a bike.
I won't even go that fast.
I will, but I will not go fast. If it went 25, I wouldn't be doing it.
I would do it, but I'd be screaming the whole way.
It definitely feels fast enough.
Yeah.
By the way, Ken, I never gave you props for last weekend when we were doing our live show, and right before we get on stage, Matt pulls us all aside. He says, "Guys, I don't want people to know what room I'm in, what room I'm staying in." Like, Matt's very private about that. And about 4 minutes in that podcast, Ken's like, "So me and Matt are staying in Violet at the Tudor House."
Good.
So yeah, props, Kaylin. Yep. I like that Always. About you. Yep. As for me, just want to thank everybody listening. I mean, the majority, if not all of you guys, are, you know, obviously listen to The Carolla Show. And we just hit year 9 of that show as you hear this. And I mean, I haven't been on since the beginning. I've been on, I came on, I think I'm the staff member here that's been here the longest. I came in a little less, or a little, about
How
a year.
How is that even possible?
A year. No, for the podcast. I've been on the podcast longer than you.
On the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm not including the radio show days. But yeah, I came on about a year in 2010.
I mean, you, me, and Matt were within about a week, so no, calm down a little bit.
No, I was on.
Calm down just a little bit, okay? Calm down. Calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down. Calm down.
Do yourself a flavor and take
calm
it easy.
Down.
I don't need to take anything. All right,
get off your high
calm
horse.
Down.
Calm no. down from Mount Pius and calm down.
Oh, goodness. Well, speaking of Mount, yeah.
Yeah, respect all women.
Yeah, it came on during Days of Thunder. And but anyway.
Okay, Donovan.
Just want to say thanks to everybody listening and who, you know, kept us floating, letting us have a job and all that. Really appreciate it.
Okay, calm down.
We're trying to be sweet here. No, F you guys. No. Thank you so much for listening. It's just it's a milestone. We're always happy to do it. And whether it's this show, The Krill Show, or any show on the network, we appreciate it. We appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to us and interact with us through various platforms.
Yes.
And we look forward to continue doing it. So thank you.
And calm down.
And now I'm calming down. So we'll see you next week for episode 110. We love you.
No. Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.